Maloni, Talohani, Talofalava, Malo le soifu, Malelangi mama, Kia orana, Malo elelei, Fakalofa lahiatu, Talofa, Kokumele mele puka, Mao, Mai teama, E momo lava piki, pe te tato tamana i talangi, Motana tauhinga, Mana haka manuyanga, mo ki tato uma. Mo te ola ma te maalohi ku maue ki tato, Toka tino in tato tamohainga benei. Ia. Once again, warm Pacific greetings to all our listeners. You are tuned in and listening to Te Ama Radio on Planet FM 104.6 or live streaming online at www.planetaudio.org.nz. Or if you missed the broadcast, listen for the next 7 days at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Te Ama Pacifica Health.
Te Ama Pacifica Health. Fatala fatu malole soifu. And as always, it is beautiful to be sitting in the studio right now. And looking out the window, I see the wind is very calm, actually. But the sun is shining, which is really good. And so a very special welcome to all our beautiful listeners. And as always, Te Ama Pacifica Health is promoting the well-being of Pacific people each week. You will hear interviews with studio guests giving advice on health, education, employment, housing, and other support services that encourage wellness and foster healthy, happy lives for Pacifica people in New Zealand. And this morning we will be sharing, continuing on with the discussion and the sharing of alcohol and other drugs, the harm that it does to individuals as well as families. But before we continue on, as always, we must put God first and ask to send His Holy Spirit to be with us this morning as we speak. So therefore, we're going to open our program this morning with a word of prayer. Fatalo fatule malula falunglungu ilene tayaole atu pacifica ae ule amataina la tato pokalame ele tatalo ule asawani ele fafianga inga sesunga ele pasta alofangia tato tatalo.
Tato tatalo, thank you, Father. After daily little ni tayao. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and the abundance of your grace for us. It's a beautiful day. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to have a dialogue and a conversation with our listeners this morning. And I pray, Father, that you will bless them wherever they are to this morning. I pray, Father, that may this time on air a time of blessing to them, Lord. We pray that whoever is listening to this program, I pray that it will become a program that transfer a message from you, Lord, and help our people, Lord, to be uplifted this morning, to be in good mode and receive something from you through this program. Help open our eyes and open our hearts, Lord, so that you can minister to us even in this airtime. Bless our audience this morning, our listeners, and bless us today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
La usamos a la
Pacifica Health Radio, welcome back to all of you, our beautiful listeners. It's just so amazing. We are reminded how many people they didn't make it this morning, and yet God has performed miracles as He always does, is and will be, that we have woken up this morning. Therefore, we make very good use of today. Today will become tomorrow's yesterday. So let's do it now. So thank you for listening in and tuning in at 11:35, always on Planet FM 104.6. Or otherwise, you could listen or on stream live online anywhere on planetaudio.org.nz on Teama Pacifica Health Radio. And with me in the studio is our very own Pastor Alofangia. And so we're going to continue on with the topic that we have today, which is about drug and alcohol. Let me start with what is alcohol. It seems like it's freely taken by anybody. And so the question is, what is alcohol? Well, alcohol is a legal sedative drug which changes the way we feel. Pure alcohol is a colorless, odorless, and inflammable fluid. Alcohol is a drug, does not contain any nutrients for the body. Alcoholic beverages have been used in many societies for many purposes. So, let's have this discussion. Exactly, Pastor Alofa, what is your understanding of what is alcohol?
Yes, as you have already spoken and defined alcohol, but to me, alcohol is something that is really destroying our people.
Yeah.
And it becomes a huge problem in our community and in our society as a whole. And I believe the alcohol also is leading to addiction, and alcohol and addiction becomes a way that the evil one is robbing our loved ones from us, our children, the people we love, the people we care for, when they are in alcohol and become addicted to it. That's where we see that the devil is really robbing our loved ones away from us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because we were given the freedom, but it seems like most of us don't really quite understand about the freedom in choosing to do the right thing, and the alcohol come along and wrong choice.
Yeah, that's really true. We have that freedom, and that freedom, a lot of people, it seems, they don't really know what is right and what is wrong, even making decision on drugs. Yeah, a lot of our youth, a lot of our young ones, but sad to say, even the adults also are falling into drugs. And now I can see from a whole perspective of New Zealand, it's really a big problem here in New Zealand, in our society. And for us as believers, we cannot just look at this and sit without doing anything. I believe we have a responsibility in order to help also dealing with the problem of drugs and alcohol in New Zealand.
Yeah, and you know, like some of us will have the money, say for an example, because we do speak a lot about Stop Smoking program. We run programs in different places, like different churches, different organizations, to really try and send out this message to our communities about the harm and the damage that alcohol and also tobacco or smoking. So we are forever promoting the Stop Smoking, you know, program. So what we're seeing here, the money that is wasted, you know, that we could buy food, pay for the rent. Yeah?
Yeah, that's really true. But for me as a pastor, it's not only the money. The problem is deeper than the loss of our money. I see this. The problem is the brokenness inside a human being, a brokenness, and then it's what we see is a manifestation of that brokenness, and it affects everything. It's not only finance, but really the ability for our people to be in the right consciousness. So it seems we lost all of that when people are addicted into drugs. So it doesn't matter how we love them, they will be drifting away from us, and that evil power is using drugs and alcohol and addiction in order to pull away the people that we love, our children, our loved ones, our relatives who are in drugs and addicted to drugs and alcohol.
From your experience as a pastor as well as a counselor, in a way that you can counsel these people that will get through to them, what are some of the methods that you have used in getting through to them?
For me as a pastor, I believe that we need to educate our people in the church. We are facing this. And it's not only affecting the community, even in the body of Christ, even in the church, it's coming toward us, and we cannot just look at it and ignore it. So to me, I love to encourage people the significance of this word, discernment. See, to me, discernment is a feeling. It's really a feeling that will help us judge what is right and what is wrong. So what I have seen, it seems most of us in the church, we are not really looking at the significance of that gift. Discernment also is a gift. Mm. It's a gift from the Spirit of God. But that gift from the Spirit of God will help us know what is right and what is wrong. And that should help us make judgment. When we look at someone who is really affected by drugs or alcohol or in addiction, when we see that, we know right away in our feeling, in that feeling of discernment, that is not the right way for this person to go through. So no judgment here. So the significance of discernment is not for us to judge people, but we can look at what's happening, whether in the right way or the wrong way, or whether in a good way or in a bad way. We look at them, then discernment will help us do something about the problem or about the person. So it's a feeling to know what is right and what is wrong. But the significance of discernment to me, as a believer, discernment is a conversation starter with God. When I see someone, or maybe a young man in addiction, that I should not judge him, but the discernment will help me start a conversation with God in order to see this young man moving out of the addiction and drugs into the right path. So I believe for us as believers in the church, we should never judge people. We should never look at people without any heart of love. when we see these young people who are being destroyed by drugs and addiction, I believe that discernment in me, that feeling in me, will lead me to talk to God about this person, so that this person, through God's power, will turn from darkness into light, or moving out from addiction into the right way. So that's why, to me, that is, should be the response of the church and all believers about the problem of addiction. Yeah, there's a lot of good ways, as you say, there's a lot of educational program that teaches people who are involved in drugs and addiction. But those are self-help ways. But I, as a pastor, I should encourage the body of Christ to do more than the self-help ideas we are giving to people. There are groups who are working on this. Okay, praise the Lord for their work. But for me, I encourage the body of Christ. I encourage all the believers. The best way for us to deal with the problem of addiction and problem is to discern in the spirit. And when we discern in the spirit someone who is in this situation, it is you and me will start a conversation with God. Why? Because when people are broken, and I see this as the ground of all problems, the brokenness. So my responsibility is to start talking to God about this person who is being affected here. I cannot just ignore it. If I ignore it, I'm not really contributing to the solution to the problem. I believe all believers, the body of Christ, should contribute to the problem by, when seeing these people who are affected, then talk to God. And God will lead you to do something much better and much deeper to help someone come out of the problem.
Thank you, Pastor Alofa. You know, just on that, just before we enter into the studio this morning, we had a call from somebody who had just asked, please pray for me. And as we are talking now with regards to discernment as a gift from God, whatever that is, I believe God knows. And at this time, at this point, may I ask you, Pastor Alofa, to send a special prayer just for this caller, please.
Okay, but before I pray, let me say this. I very thankful to that person, because this is the way we should go. We should not keep our problem to ourselves. If we cannot do anything about it, call for a friend to help. And I believe even people who are in drugs and fall into addiction, this is the beginning of things, of great things. Call someone, call a friend. Call a friend and ask for prayers. And that's a good thing. And another friend will tell another friend, will tell another friend. And many friends will pray for this one person. Because we believe when the problem is out of our control, only God can control. So calling you in order to ask for a special prayer, thank you. It is really a privilege for us to pray for that woman this morning.
Amen.
So if you are listening right now, we're going to pray for you.
Yes.
But we declare in Jesus' name that everything will be all right for you. Everything is fine for you, because Jesus is now concerned for you, as we are also concerned for you, and we believe every good thing comes from the Lord. So let's pray for you. Father, thank you so much for this woman to call and ask for prayer. Lord, you know everything before she even make an effort to call this morning. We pray for her right now. We lift her up to you. You know her by name. You know her by design. And she is so precious to you, O Lord. She is so precious to you. You love her that much. And you allow your son to die for that person, Lord. Therefore, in the heart of love for her this morning, we talk to you for her, Father. We pray that you will uplift her this morning, uplift her family. Whatever they're going through this morning, Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus that Satan will not win over her. Satan will not win in his effort to destroy this family this morning. We pray for them. We pray for your blessing, Lord. And we believe in the mighty name of Jesus that she is covered by the blood of Christ this morning. Lord, I pray that you will bless her. Pray that you will protect her, Lord. And in Jesus' name, we call the activation of your angels, Father, to surround this family this morning with your love and with your grace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I like the way that you have put this encouragement with the discernment. And also you says that do not judge. We don't have the right to judge. Mm-hmm. I like it in the way I'm reminded that Jesus loves the sinner.
That's right.
But he hates the sin.
That's right.
And that's what you're trying to say for us to treat our young ones or anyone who is in that mind and help them and pray for them. Thank you so much for their prayer. And I believe that God knows exactly what this person is needing. And thank you. He said, heard. And this is, as you said, call somebody. Call somebody for help. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, with the not to judge, this is a good counseling for our parents or for anyone who is looking after somebody who has been suffered because of alcohol. They have caused sickness, caused separations of families.
Amen.
You know, have caused poverty in our society. Yeah.
The problem with judging other people, because when we judge other people, then every word that comes out of our judgment is negative.
Negative. Yeah.
When people are falling into drugs and addiction, they have judged themselves. Yeah. And why would I add to that judgment? So I believe as people, God loves people no matter what. In his heart, these are all the people that he loves. His heart is broken when he knows that the people are falling away from him, falling into drugs and addiction and alcohol. So it is not my call to judge someone. I believe the call of God for us, the believer, when we look at people, then we know we should have the heart of God. And that's the thing that, for me personally, that's the thing I'm working on myself, to have that love heart culture for Christ, so that I will love people no matter what. No matter what, even the way I look at people, I should never judge them by the way I look at people. I should look at people the way Jesus looked at people. Love them. Accept them for who they are. Because God is the only righteous judge. If we judge people, we judge people from what we know, from our own narrow understanding. But God knows far better than us. So that's why it is our call as believers not to judge people, but to love them as God loves them. Because Christ died not only for me, but even people who are falling away and being robbed by the devil from us, Christ died for them too. So that's why if I am precious in God's heart, even the people who fall into addiction, they are also loved by God. So who am I to judge them? I should be the expression and a manifestation of God's love for people who fall away from us through addiction and alcohol.
It is so true. You know, as you're speaking, I'm reminded of the four dimensions to the whole being.
Amen.
Yeah. Mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So we cannot talk about one part and ignore the rest.
That's
this is the whole being.
The whole being.
God created us. Yeah, as a whole being. And at the moment, we are covering everything because it affects the whole being.
That's right.
And also you've said to see the people through the eyes of Jesus.
Yes.
Which is all about love, about grace. It reminds me of John 3:16. For God so loved the world.
That's right.
That's what grace is all about.
And the significance of looking into the broken people from Jesus' eye, it will overcome any sense of prejudice in my own heart. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's really a Christian virtue for us to develop that heart of love for the people who are on the street or whatever problem they are facing. And I believe if we all have the same way of looking into people like Christ, then I believe we will love people no matter what. We will love people no matter what, their color, their languages, their weaknesses. We will still love people. And that's the heart of God.
Amen. No matter what, we will just continue to love people.
That's right.
You have been listening to Pastor Alofonia discussing and sharing information with regard to alcohol and other drug. We're going to go for our first break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. was from Bani Atoloa. Well, welcome back to our beautiful listeners this morning and also to our Pastor Alofangia. And we're just going to continue on and asking Pastor Alofangia to, as we are reminded, you know, there are four dimensions to the whole being. And so, therefore, it's mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So we cannot talk about one part of the whole being and ignore the rest, because it's four dimensions to the whole being. And that's what we're sharing this morning, speaking about the harm and the damage that drug and alcohol and even smoking, you know, cigarettes. We're forever trying to run these programs in our community about, you know, campaigning to stop all these things, but we cannot do it on our own. Mm-hmm. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And just want to continue to talk about the gift of discernment that we can help with the eyes of Jesus. It's about love and grace. Yeah, Pastor Alofangia.
Yeah, it's, I read this morning the last verse of the book of Jonah, when God was telling Jonah, 120,000 Ninevites people, and God was, I'm concerned for them, and even the cattle. So when I read that verse this morning, wow, God loves everyone in Nineveh, everyone. But not only loving everyone, but even their cattle, even their animals. So I look at that verse and thought, wow, if God is concerned, God was concerned for all the people of Nineveh and even their cattle, then it tells me, who am I? Who am I to judge anyone? I should also be concerned with our youth, with our people here in our community who are falling into drugs and alcohol and become addicted to all those vices. And that is the heart of God. So I look at them. I change the way I look at them, trying not to look at them from my own human eyes, but to look at them from the eyes of God with love, because it is the love that wins them back to us and wins them back to God. So that's why when people are deep into drugs and alcohol, to say negative words to them is not the right approach. I believe discernment is the right approach. We see the direction they are going, and we know when people are in drugs and alcohol, they are not going to go up. They are going in a downhill spiral. When they are going in a downhill spiral, only God can put a stop on that. So that's why discernment to me is where we start. It is a conversation starter with God. So that is good discernment. When you know that someone is going on a downhill spiral and destroy his life, destroy his family, destroy his children, it is my responsibility as a believer to talk to God for that person and that family in order for God to restore them. When God restored them in their hearts, he will also restore them to us, to our loved ones, to us. And to me, that's why I'm so concerned. I'm thankful to organizations and groups who are trying to educate our community about the dangers and all the effects of drugs and alcohol. But I want to talk to you, the church, the believers, the body of Christ in Oakland. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility to become salt by helping our people. By helping our people, and by that help, we cannot control, but we go to God and talk to God, and God will direct you, direct me to do something about someone who is falling into addiction, so that person can be worn back into life and to us through God's grace.
Amen. And it goes on to speaking living words into people's lives.
Yes.
That's all about loving,
yes,
them, accepting them for who they are, and let God do the rest, eh?
Yes, that is really true.
Yeah. Mm.
We cannot... I believe one of the problem, the deepest problem that I have seen in our society is condemnation. Condemning people. To me, That is the biggest problem. A lot of people who are falling down and a lot of children who are falling away is the spirit of condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the church, it seems there are a lot of people who condemn people who are weak, people who are sinners, youth who are falling into drugs and all of the, oh, he's a very alcoholic man. I believe we need not to condemn people, but to really be the hands of God to help the people. Because the condemnation will never save anyone. The grace of God. And when we speak the grace of God, we speak the grace of God as a blessing to people.
Yes.
As you said, Father, yes, we need to speak word of life to people. Instead of condemning, speak word of life. Even though the person is in a wrong path, speak the word of life. Because the word you spoke has power. And that word, only God can use that word as speaking with the heart of love as a blessing. And it will be a blessing for that person. Even if that person is still in a wrong way. We believe when God works, he works and use the word we spoke to someone to bring someone to the light.
Amen. God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
Always good.
It reminds me, like talking about judgment and also talking about the gift of discernment, it reminds me of when they took this woman to Jesus with regard to the law of throwing stones. We may not be addicted to drug and alcohol, but there are some other things that, you know, Christians can be addicted to that other people do not know of.
Amen.
And so the question is asked, throw the first stone. Oh, I don't think anyone will be able to do that. What do you think? Even though we may not be drinking alcohol, smoking, having drugs, but there are other things where that we cannot throw the first stone. Yeah.
I like that story you just bring up. That story really teaches us the significance of no condemnation. Because in that story in John chapter 8, what I have seen there in that story, it seems Jesus was not really concerned with the sin of the woman. But I think the concern of Jesus there in that whole story is the concern in the spirit of condemnation from those who accused the woman. That's why Jesus didn't really directly spoke to them, but he just bent down and wrote something on the sand. It tells me that Jesus was so concerned on the spirit of condemnation that this accuser brought to Jesus. And that's why Jesus put the understanding into a deeper level by telling him, if you have no sin, then throw a stone. And they're all gone. So as you said, words of blessing and words of life. And Jesus was saying to the woman, I too will not condemn you. Go and sin no more. To me, these are the words of blessing. Jesus blessing the woman. Jesus did not condemn the woman, but he blessed the woman by giving back her life.
Amen.
See, the accusation, he should be stoned to death right at that moment. But Jesus gave back her life. Mm. Can you imagine the power of a broken person? And when Jesus gave back her life to her, she has a second chance to make it right with God.
Amen.
And that's what I mean. The spirit of condemnation is the deepest thing that really destroy people. Mm-hmm. And to me, I believe the story we just talk about here in John, Jesus is teaching us in a deeper way to love people. No condemnation, but give life to people. Jesus have given back the life of this woman, and this woman, her whole being was completely changed.
Yeah.
Physical, spiritually, emotionally. She cannot be thankful to Jesus enough by giving back her life.
Amen. Amen.
So I believe that's a lesson for us today, even the church.
Mm.
Condemnation kills, but love saves.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Lofa. You know, as you were speaking about this woman giving a second chance. And not only that second chance, you know, Jesus himself said, my child, go and sin no more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
It reminds me of that saying, go and sin no more. Mm. You are free.
Mm.
You are free. There's freedom for you. What is it? Fun. Mm. freedom and fulfillment. You are free.
That's right. You are free. And when he sets us free, we are free indeed.
Amen.
But going down in that whole chapter, Jesus was saying in that chapter, the truth will set you free.
Amen.
That's the thing. That's what I was saying. Negativity cannot save anyone. Negativity cannot save anyone. Condemnation can't save anyone. Even our knowledge of sin. See, I think it's a lot of time that when people talk about sin, they really try to understand everything about sin. But even in the knowledge of sin cannot really set us free. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Your understanding of the truth, the knowledge of the truth, will set you free. So it's a lot of people, so many times, they think, oh, my knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. Yeah, and a lot of time we're making decisions based on what is right and what is wrong. If we are doing that, I believe we're still repeating the mistake of Adam and Eve, making decisions based on knowing what is right and what is wrong. But here, Jesus said, no, it's not the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. That's why Solomon in Proverbs says, do not depend on your own understanding, but trust God. So I think the same thing here. It is not our knowledge of alcohol and addiction that will save someone, but the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you are free indeed.
How much easier, you know, for us to receive that? And not only is it easy, there's no cost, because with regards to using alcohol, it says alcohol and pleasure, which says the fact that alcohol improves the drinker's mood in the short term is an important reason why many people drink, and that mood change can be regulated according to the amount consumed. Yeah, so they use alcohol and pleasure, and yet we are saying, you know, that God can give them, you know, much more to save them, set them free, and be free indeed. So this spirit of alcohol, this drug and alcohol that has bind, you know, most of our, especially young people, it saddened my heart to see even school children. I have, you know, how can we reach out and save them, as you have said, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing is, what I am thinking, we can give all the facts to explain how bad, how dangerous this alcohol or these drugs to people. We can give all the good explanation. But the problem is, people who are addicted to it, they still desire it. Yes. Knowing all this explanation doesn't change their mind. They still desire it because they were using it for so long. And the desire is there. So we can give them all the facts. We can give them all the explanations. Good. But I think it doesn't really go deeper than the problem, because they desire. And that's why the truth, if we desire the truth, then that desire of the truth will completely set anyone free. And that's why even people in prison, when they encounter that truth, they come out as free people, not only free from prison, but in their own self. They were enslaved by their own self. So it's the same thing here with alcohol and addiction. They desire it, but once they know the truth, then the desire changes.
Mm. You know, the good thing that I like about this ministry, these people don't know, they don't have to know that somebody is praying for them.
Yes.
And they pray not for my own people, for our community, but we pray for anyone. God hears the prayer, and he knows that we're uplifting all these people who are suffering with this addiction.
Amen.
You know, that's the power of this ministry.
Amen.
Praying for these people they don't know, and then when they change their, praise the Lord, thank you Jesus. Because one of the things that still with the effects of alcohol is that alcoholic beverages are used to their mood changing properties. The more you drink, the more parts of your brain become numb from the sedative drug, alcohol. As the alcohol moves quickly to the brain, it acts like an anesthetic to the various parts. First affected is the frontal lobe, with immediate effects of increased enjoyment, euphoria, happiness, and the general expression of positive moods. This is all temporary, but yes. The power of God is forever.
That's right.
Meaning that we can just uplift all these people with prayers. And as we come towards the end of our time, it's gone really fast. We're enjoying this and giving out all this information. And so I'm just going to let you have the final comment and blessings our listeners, and also to finish us off with prayer.
And that's why for us to discern, lead us to have a conversation with God, and that's why to me discernment is a conversation starter with God.
Mm.
And there's a lot of people who were deep into addiction and all of that, but through the prayer of their mothers,
yes,
through the prayer of their mothers, through the prayer of other believers, really helped God to move and act in a mysterious way and save a lot of people from addiction. And that's why for you and for me, we still believe we can never be a salt of the world in obedience to Christ if we cannot have a part to pray for all the people who are involved in drugs and alcohol and addiction. So yeah, I think that's a call for the program for us today. We call for all the believers to take part in praying that God will step in and save our loved ones from addiction and from drugs. We want to save them. And yes, the first place to start is for us to concern and start praying.
Yes.
And start praying.
Thank you, Pastor Lofa.
So before I pray, I believe also maybe whoever is listening today and want to hear more, some good advice, or want us to pray, maybe they can contact us.
Yes.
But let's pray for them. Father, thank you so much. In Jesus' wonderful name, there is a problem of alcohol and addiction in our community. And you know too well, O Lord, your people need to start calling on you and praying for our loved ones. Pray for people in our community who desire drugs and alcohol, Lord, who are falling deeper and deeper and deeper in the end of a downhill spiral, Lord. We pray through the Spirit of God that the answer is in you. It's in you, O Father, and we pray for them right now. Lord, whoever is in that pit and want to move out of it, we pray for that person right now, that through the Spirit of God will set that person free, that your word that goes out on the air today, the word of truth, will save someone today, O Lord. I pray, Father, fill our hearts with that love of God, to love also for the people who are struggling in life, Lord. I pray, Father, that the power of our prayers will help pull people out of addiction and out of drugs, and continue to use your people, Lord, the believers, the church, to do more and intercede for our people, Father, so that we will deal with this problem in a heavenly way and bring blessing to our community and to our society. Oh Lord, we pray especially whoever is listening today and started to sense something in you, oh Lord, we pray, Father, that you will set that person free in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you will heal our community. Even addiction to alcohol is a sickness, Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you will heal our community, that we will heal our people, Lord, from addiction.